couple of weeks ago, we looked at a passage of Scripture, John 15. At the start of that message, I asked you if you wanted a fulfilling and a fruitful life. Most people seem to indicate that indeed they did want those two things, a fulfilling and a fruitful life. The question then was, where do we find those things? How do we find fulfillment, and how do we ensure our lives are fruitful? And as we sat under God's word together, I believe that the Lord gave us the secret to finding those things. The secret, as revealed in God's word, was found in, number one, remaining in him, remaining in Jesus, and number two, pursuing friendship with him, with Jesus above all else, making that relationship the central priority of your life, remaining in the true vine, where his life is able to course through you, producing fruit that will last for eternity. You know, we've spent weeks looking at Jesus' words in John 15. There really is so much in there. And I want to spend just one more week in this passage, in a sense, mining for gems, kingdom of heaven gems. So let us once again sit under this very important passage. This is John 15, chapter 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." You know, on a grapevine, the only difference between a cane and a branch is longevity. A cane is a new little shoot, the product of just one season. A branch, on the other hand, is part of the vine that has been there for much, much longer. The fruitfulness of the vine comes from the branches, not the canes. Well, today I want to talk to you about fruitfulness and the fact that being really fruitful, more often than not, takes years of being grafted into the vine. You know, as you drive up around the Hunter Valley, up in the wine country, you'll notice some of the vines are old. They're really quite old. There are some branches up there that are more than 40 years old, and yet year after year, they yield one bountiful harvest after another. Some crops are short term, that the plant produces whatever it produces in a year. Not so with grapes. Vineyards are long-term crops. The mature vines produce far more than the younger ones. God wants us to be long-term residents in his vineyard. In fact, God wants you grafted into the true vine, into Jesus, for eternity. That's a long-term goal, isn't it? His goal for us is fruitful maturity. He knows it's going to take time, and he's willing to wait. The Lord gave his all for you. He loves you more than you could ever believe. He's done everything required to make it possible for you to be grafted into him. He chose you, and now he's going to ensure that you are fruitful. Jesus said, this is John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. 10 times throughout this parable, Jesus used the word remain. Remain in me. It's that simple. Remain in me is all that Jesus asks of the branches in God's vineyard. In that vineyard, there has to be total interdependence between the branches and the vine. You're not called to simply stand near him, watching what's going on in the lives of others. And yet, this is exactly what many Christians do. I'm amazed at how many Christians long to hear about what God is doing, to celebrate when others come to faith, to rejoice when the church grows and great things are happening, when there appears to be much fruit being produced, and yet they themselves don't want to be part of actually producing that fruit. They just want to be spectators. Jesus doesn't call you to be a spectator. He calls you to be grafted into him. That means your identity, your very existence becomes bound up in him. Let me give you an example. Maybe you work as an accountant. You really enjoy your job and you're clearly very good at it. You're also a Christian who goes to church on Sundays. Now, there's a big difference between being a successful accountant who goes to church on Sundays and a full-on, fruitful, life-giving follower of Jesus Christ who works as an accountant for a living. Jesus doesn't call you to be a spectator. He wants your very identity to be bound up in him. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned about how difficult it is to distinguish between where the vine ends and the branch begins? That's what I'm talking about. What an awesome promise. What a fantastic relationship to pursue. Growing in Christ will be a lifetime adventure where all we need to worry about is staying in the true vine, right where the Father has already grafted us. Can you see how this is completely at odds with the wisdom of the world? The world says that if you want to be anything, if you want anything, you have to achieve it. That is the lie the world will tell you. That's what that you have to invest all of your energies to somehow obtain fulfillment. In God's kingdom, we don't have to achieve anything. When we're grafted into the true vine, he's given us three things which actually negate the need to achieve. Well, the first is this, the gift of friendship. Jesus says, this is John 15, verse 15, I have called you friends. Really? I mean, think about it. What more do you need when the Son of the living God calls you his friend? Sometimes when anxiety starts to wash over you like the tide, when you start to worry about your life, just spend some time meditating. That is, thinking deeply, thinking carefully about this truth. The Son of God, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, calls you friend. The gift of his friendship is nothing more or less than pure grace. You can't work to earn or achieve it. He offers it to you free of charge. It comes when you are part of the vine. It comes when your identity is bound up in his. So that's the first thing which negates the need to achieve. The living God chooses to call you his friend. Secondly, he gives you a regenerated heart and mind. He doesn't suggest that we somehow develop a new heart and mind and then gives us some pointers about how to do that. No, he simply gives it to us. Looking forward to the day of Pentecost, God said this through his prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 11, verse 19 says, I will give them a new heart and a new mind. I will take away their stubborn heart of stone and I will give them an obedient heart. Then they will keep my laws and faithfully obey all my commands. They will be my people and I will be their God. When you are grafted into the true vine, you are given a new heart, an obedient heart, which leads to faithful obedience. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12. He said, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." When you're grafted into the true vine, the gardener begins to transform you from the inside out. What's the secret to behavioral change? It's a change of mind, right? If your behavior's going to change, there has to be a change in here, in the way you think. And that's what God promises, a renewed mind. So we're given the gift of friendship, a new heart and a new mind, and this is really something. He gives us, number three, he gives us the ability to sense his presence and to hear his voice. Have a careful look at what Jesus says here in John chapter 10. John 10, 14 tells us, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." When we're grafted into the true vine, we are given the ability to hear his voice and to sense his presence. Now, the big question is, how do I remain in him? I mean, it's easy to talk about it in abstract terms, but what does that really look like on a week-to-week basis? Well, let me tell you, remaining in him is as simple as regularly being where he is. Jesus doesn't hide from us. He never hides from his followers. He clearly tells us where to find him. The first place you'll find Jesus is in his word. In fact, John writes that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is actually called the Word. The Word of God reveals who God is and what he's done. The Word of God is a report about a redemptive event, but it is also redemptive in and of itself. When God became one of us in Jesus, he revealed himself to us fully in the person and the work of Jesus. The first step towards remaining in the true vine in Jesus is to develop the habit of spending time in the Word of God, in the Bible, every single day. That's the first place where you'll find Jesus. He said in Mark 13, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And then in Luke we read, "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built." When you build your life on the Word of God, you build your life on the rock, an unshakable foundation. Jesus also said in John 5, he said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Do you see how important it is to know the Word of God? Do you see how life-changing the Word of God is? In John 14, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Did you get that? If anyone loves me, Jesus says, he will obey my teaching. And then get this, my Father will love him. And we, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, will come to him and make our home with him. Wow! What a profound thing for Jesus to say. So how can we ensure that we obey his teaching if we don't know what that teaching is? We can't. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God, to live with it daily, to literally feed on it. That's why it's so important to come to church, not just to worship and glorify God, not just to fellowship with other Christians, not just to serve others, but to come and to sit under his word. It is so important that we all come with a sense of expectation that God has something to say to us through the preaching of his word. And we then need to be willing to be changed by that word. Jesus said, if you remain in me, this is John 15, verse 7, our passage today. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. If you continually find Jesus in his word and you allow those words to permeate your life, to change your heart and mind, do you know what happens? Your will lines up so exactly with God's will that Jesus can say, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. The first place to find Jesus is in his word. The second place is in prayer. I've said to you numerous times before, we are most human when we pray. You were created to pray, to commune with God, to bring him all of your concerns, all of your joys, all of your sorrows, to walk daily in fellowship with the Lord. You know, as I said earlier, one of the unique gifts the Father gives to those who are grafted into the vine is the ability to hear his voice. When we read his word, when we learn to recognize his voice, when we pray, and specifically when we listen in prayer, we learn to hear his voice. And then God speaks directly into our lives. It says in Luke 5, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We know that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We read it in the Gospels. If the Son of God needed to spend much time in prayer, how much more so us? If we are the branches and our fruitfulness is directly linked to remaining in him, prayer then is a vital aspect of our life in him. Do you agree? When we pray, his life is allowed to flow through us. And when we don't pray, we start to wither spiritually. Jesus said, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Jesus promises to be with us when we come together in his name. The trouble is, there's this really loud voice yelling in your ear. You don't have time to attend a home group. You don't have time to meet with others to pray with them. There are more important things to do. It's just not a priority. Jesus says that there is only one thing that is really important. One thing that is more important than anything else, your relationship with him. We remain in the vine by finding Christ in his word, by spending time in prayer, and number three, by surrendering our lives to him. Jesus says in verse 12 of our passage, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus modeled absolute surrender to the will of the Father, and he calls us to do exactly the same. When we choose to remain in him, remember all the if statements from the other week, a few weeks ago. Remember that if you are chosen, remember you are chosen to be grafted in, but you must choose to stay there. If you choose to remain in him, there is only one attitude that is acceptable, an attitude of total surrender to his will. From my personal experience, this has to be the most difficult aspect of remaining in him. Finding the Lord in prayer and in his word has come somewhat easier for me than in surrendering to his will. When we won't surrender, what we're really saying is, I'm still the boss. There is only one boss. There is only one gardener, only one heavenly Father. He's passionate about fruitfulness, and he knows that there is no fruitfulness where there is rebellion. If you refuse to surrender to his will, you'll just mark time spiritually. You'll go around and around and around, just like the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, waiting to die. There'll be no fruit. There'll be no fullness, and there'll be no growth. The Father knows that without submission to his will, there is only barrenness. The main reason that young shoots, young believers, don't bear much fruit is because they haven't learnt to submit to his will. They haven't learnt to surrender. That said, I've seen young believers bearing kingdom fruit, but only because they've been willing to surrender fully to his will. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I'm not a young believer. I've been a Christian for many years. That doesn't matter. The question is, how willing have you been to submit to his will? How willing have you been to surrender every area of your life to him? Maybe you've spent a lifetime looking for Jesus in his word and in prayer. Maybe you know the Bible really well. You can just snap those verses out there. You know that thing. Maybe you get together in prayer and you pray really impressively, yet you are still unwilling to surrender all. If that's you, there's an area of your life coming to mind right now, isn't there? I pray there is. And if you're honest, maybe your life hasn't been as fruitful as you know it should have been. You need to lay it down. You need to surrender that area of your life to him. Maybe you're not willing to trust God with your finances. The idea of giving a tenth of your income to the Lord seems ridiculous, impossible, and you refuse to do it. That's rebellion. Maybe God's been calling you to serve him in a particular area of ministry. For years, you've ignored his call. You've been unwilling to risk looking a fool, so you simply said, "No, Lord, I will not serve you in that way." That's rebellion. Maybe you've refused to submit to his call to forgive someone who's wronged you. That's a refusal to surrender to his will. That is rebellion. Maybe you've simply refused to admit that you're suffering from an addiction of some type. You can't bring yourself to be honest about your situation, and therefore you refuse to give it to Jesus. That too is rebellion. What part of lay your life down as a living sacrifice don't you understand? I mean, think about it. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is a gift from the worshipper to the one worshipped. A sacrifice is a gift. The scriptures call us to lay our lives down as a living sacrifice. Your life is not for you. Your life is to be pleasing to God. Your life is to be a gift to God and to others. The call to remain in him isn't easy. It's a call to the daily discipline of seeking God, but it's also a call to submission and surrender. I know God wants to use you to bless others, and I know that he wants you to live a fruitful and a fulfilling life. The question is, will you surrender all to him? It's the only way to remain in him. It's the only path to fullness and fruitfulness. Will you surrender all to him?